This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this, a Monday evening. I'd like to start out, if I can, and I will, by saying good evening to Michael.
Don't throw a shoe. It's not the right thing to do.
Wow, what a bar that is. You know, that means you're out here rapping, Michael. The talent. It just happened naturally, what you just did. Let me hear that one more time, RJ.
Don't throw a shoe. It's not the right thing to do.
Beautiful. ENN, by the way, tonight is brought to you by our friends at WPT Online Borgata Series, powered by Party Poker U.S. Network. I'd also like to say, if I can, good evening to Don.
But here's the issue.
Can I cut in with one thing before you say anything?
If you must.
So I had a lame attempt at a joke about, you know, becoming a nurse to get the shot. And all we've done here for the whole pandemic is tell you how important nurses and doctors are. And there's a nurse that goes on Twitter and goes, shame on you for saying that. Really? So there's no joking around in the world anymore, right? Ooh. I said it was an ill-advised joke. Certainly no offense meant toward it. And I have certainly not disrespected anybody in that profession and told you how important they are and how we should give thanks to them. But I said one lame joke and you go, shame on me. Really? Really?
What? Don't you? I mean, I fall for those things too, but don't.
And one other thing. Peter, you're going to love this.
Okay.
So you're both on Cameo, right?
I am.
I'm struggling with it.
Okay. So somebody spent $350 to get Smokey Robinson. Did you see this, Peter?
Do you have the audio?
It's on right now. If you look, Darren Ravel just tweeted it.
Because I've been hearing about it, and I haven't listened to it yet.
So, Don, you'll love this. And the they paid him to wish... because their mom had grown up across the street from Smokey. Smokey was a great guy, had him on center stage. He's a legend. Across the street from him in Detroit. And Smokey goes through the whole thing. So, you know, they blah, 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 your son. So I just want to wish you, I don't know what this is. I've never heard of this word, but this is what they want me to say. Happy Chanukah. He's got to be close to 80. He's never heard of Hanukkah.
Well, he's never read Hanukkah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Now,
really?
But here's the thing, Michael. You just lost all credibility on this subject.
Why?
Because you consider Don and I not knowing the Monogoat line is the same as not knowing Hanukkah.
No. There's different levels. I'm just that
there's different
through your travels
stupidity.
In life, right? That Smokey had never heard anybody wished Happy Hanukkah.
I mean, he had a very successful career in the music industry.
And there's not a lot of Jewish people in the industry?
There are a lot of Jewish people in the industry. So I'm surprised that he'd never been to a Chanukah party,
right,
had some latkes for Chanukah.
He knows it as Hanukkah. He probably never saw it spelled out that way, and it probably confused him. That's all.
Okay. Well, it's on Twitter if you'd like to hear it. It's pretty funny.
Andrew, can we get that in there, please? I'd like to hear it at some point here. Because I've been hearing about it all day and somehow missed it, and it's wrong. But happy Chanukah to everyone out there, by the way.
And to you, Peter.
Thank you. I believe it's night 5? Thursday.
Don't ask
Friday,
me.
Saturday,
yeah, why are you confused?
5. It's just hard to keep up. It's a lot of nights. There's 8. I don't know if you know this, Don.
8
crazy nights. God, I've been watching This Is Us again. The amount of crying I have done the last week.
But why?
This Is Us is... I can see how people could argue it's cheap, the way they make you cry.
Right.
But it is also so brilliant. The symmetry of the show, I understand that you could argue it's too obvious, the symmetry. To me, I love it. I love the feelings they bring out of you about your life and your childhood and your relationship with your family and your loved ones. Does Nancy watch, Don?
No, she does not. But we do stay, because you know I'm a company guy from way back.
Sure.
That a similar show on ABC, A Million Little Things. We watch it. Every
it's
Thursday.
This Is Us at Jazz?
Kind of has that same feel to it because the whole basis of the show is how the main character, he commits suicide like in the first episode. And this is going back, you know, this is like it's season three. And it's just them dealing with that and other different things. It's just really deep, but it's good.
But and the brilliance of This Is Us, and maybe the same thing of Million Little Things, is that when the main character is killed off from the very beginning, it allows you to do anything you want with the show.
Yes.
You can constantly, there's no, This Is Us in theory could go on for 30 years because they're always showing different things from different, there's no timeline. Anyways, the point was, happy Chinookah to everyone out there. Let's hear from, we've talked a lot of NFL, so we'll get back to the NFL.
Let's talk
NBA, shall we?
Sure, I love it.
Kyrie Irving explained his pawns comment regarding the media.
Like I said, the focus is on what's going on in the task here, you know, my job. And I wanted to make sure that that was clear. There are no distractions, nothing about dispelling anything, nothing about going back and forth, nothing about calling out one person or another, not even refer to you guys as pawns, you know what I mean, or media. It's just really how I felt about the mistreatment of certain artists when we get to a certain platform, of when we make decisions within our lives to have full control and ownership. You know, we go through the rigorous season, we do everything we're asked to do, you know, and we want to perform in a secure and protected space.
This is going to get me in trouble, but
So
we create every day, the three of us and Andrew and RJ, content for 4 hours on the radio.
That's right.
I'd be hard pressed to call this art. So, I mean, aren't you a little bit impressed with yourself? I mean, what athletes do, it's incredible. But, I mean, aren't we really pushing the envelope on art to say that it's art? You're trying to win a game. I mean, disrespecting the art we create? I will allow myself to be talked out of it. Michael, you're crazy. Art? Really?
I just don't like that you said you're hard-pressed to call this art. But I understand what you're saying.
But is this art?
Well, it depends on the day.
Yes. Everything is an art in its own way. We're creating things that we are marketing to the public. That's art, right? Whether it's a painting, whether it's a sculpture, whether it's a four-hour radio show. Now, I think there's a certain level of arrogance to refer to it as art, but it has the same kind of aspects. That's what he does for a living. What he does something that people want to see, that people want to pay to see. So how is that really different?
Well, but the artistic quality isn't made up by the fact that people are willing to pay to see it. I don't think. There's a lot of things people are willing
to pay to see. There are people that are willing to pay to see, you know, people juggling cats.
Right.
That's not art.
But at the same time, Michael, I feel like you wouldn't be as offended by that terminology if people were to describe Ali fighting.
I don't know.
Well, but not, but
maybe because of the physical nature of it. And, I mean, you have to be physically superior to others to be a professional athlete. And I don't know if the physicality turns it into art.
I hear you.
I could be wrong. Let's put it this way. He might have a point. I'll give him that. It is so very self-important.
No, of course.
Well, at the very least, that, for sure.
I am arguing whether it's art or not, because we could sit there and people could look at Picasso and say, how is that art? Hey, give me a break. I mean, it's all subjective. But to refer to what you do as art is a little arrogant, right?
I don't know. It's
certainly self-important.
I
could sit there and go, I think being a basketball player, to jump that high, to take those shots, I think there's artistic value to that, because I could never do that in a million years. But for him to refer to it as that, a little self-important, but isn't that
also,
like the majority
of
the NBA?
He didn't want to take away from what's happening in the court. That's exactly what you did by how your whole little act. With the release you sent out, that's exactly what you did. We don't care about the inner workings of your mind or whether the earth is flat. We want to know, how does it feel to be on the court with KD again? That's what we want to know. So unless you talk about that stuff and you remain mysterious, you are taking away from a team that I believe, I haven't done the whole work yet on the Eastern Conference, I think they're going to the finals.
Now,
that's how impressed I was yesterday.
Well, but also, If you want to call it art, cool. Can we get a regular season win first?
Well, he's done enough in his career.
No, no, no. He's talking about the art that they're doing, though. He's talking about this iteration. I just like to see a little bit, but listen.
Yeah, we got to wait and see. One preseason game.
Listen, Kyrie is doing a great job creating conversation. I think Michael's right that, you know, or it wasn't Michael who said that. Michael said nozzle. Don said that. If his goal is to create conversation, he has done that. Kevin Durant created conversation over the weekend, not from controversy, but from looking like Kevin Durant on the floor. He scored 15 points in his debut, 5 of 12 from the floor, few rebounds, few assists, 24 minutes in the win over the Wizards. Let's hear from KD on how it felt to play again.
Man, it felt good. I mean, obviously the circumstances are different. No fans in the stands, and I know the Nets fans were looking forward to this day. But hopefully I enjoyed it on TV. And it's a first step for me as a player, you know, getting back on the court, getting back into my routine. And, you know, I felt good. I felt like I knocked some rust off early on, and I just got to keep building from here.
Wow. Backup holdup said it better than – I wish that I had a way with words like this guy. He said, anything that has a definitive outcome or purpose cannot be art. Art exists only to exist. Competition cannot be an art.
I don't know. Why is that the rule?
No, he's right, though. The truth is, you can say, here's what you could say, Don, when it comes to sports. The best thing you can say about a great athlete is that it's like art. Ali was, it was like art. It was so beautiful, right? Okay. Soccer, the beautiful game, it can be like art. But I agree wholeheartedly. And so, I don't want to get into a whole thing here, but like the difference is, sports are a competitive event, not art. You may think it's crap to you, but for me, wrestling is art. They're putting on a performance. There is no result that matters.
But, well,
I'd like to get a real definition from an art class, but again, I don't know if something that has a definitive outcome could be art.
I love the Captain Literal Man of this whole conversation.
So what you're saying is that something that a basketball player does on the court can be artistic.
Yes.
But not be art.
Right. But, now, Darren T, though, disagrees. He said, of course this show is art. How else would you describe what happens when John Tush calls in? Or Here Comes Football. That is art.
But it's objective, too. I mean, is a comedian an artist?
Yeah.
So of course comedians are. Yeah.
There's no score.
But there's a competitiveness to it, but there's also things that happen within that competition that are very artful or artistic, right? The moves that Wayne Gretzky made on the ice or the moves that Muhammad Ali made in the ring. Yeah, he's trying to defeat his opponent, and there's an outcome, and it's ultimately a winner and a loser. But leading up to that is being able to express yourself in a way that other people can't. That's fundamentally what art is, right? Is expressing yourself in a way that most people can't. That you don't think that being an athlete is expressive?
It's expressive. It's not art. And not to me. Not to me. Let's hear from Jay Williams, an artiste in his own right, who says the Eastern Conference is the Nets to lose if Durant stays healthy.
Can Kevin Durant stay healthy? Can he be durable? We've only seen one player come back off an Achilles injury and was next level as Dominique Wilkins, right? So I think that's really important for this team because he unlocks everything with this unit. Philadelphia is going to be a lot better. Adding Seth Curry, a couple of different pieces to their lineup will help them with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. See how that works out. Boston Celtics will be right there. They will be good. The Milwaukee Bucks will be right there. They will be good. But I think this is the Brooklyn Nets season to lose if they don't get to the NBA Finals. It will be looked at as a failure.
This guy went on the court yesterday. I think it's 551 days. I could be off by a couple of days. And looked wonderful. There was very little rust. And if they don't get hurt, and injuries are always a part. You always have to use that as a caveat. They could be awesome. That's how good Kyrie and KD are. They could be awesome.
The question is, how long will it take for there to be that chemistry and how many games are lost during that period of time that could affect their seeding?
But you know what, Don? They will out-talent people.
Yeah, they probably
will. I mean,
they
play the Knicks and the Pistons or whatever. They'll destroy them. They're just better.
Yeah,
I mean, Caris LeVert might not start on this team. He's going to start on most teams.
Now, I'd have to look back and see what Freddie Freeman did at the end of last year. But when you see what Connor is doing in Pittsburgh, and when you see what Newton is doing in New England, I'm beginning to understand why KD maybe didn't come back for the hub, because going through COVID, players have really kind of they've been able to play, but they struggle. I'm wondering if he probably ultimately maybe did the right thing not playing in the bubble, even if the Achilles was okay. Now, I don't know what his symptoms were from COVID, but I'm wondering how much that played in him not playing in the hub.
We have the audio of Smokey Robinson. Okay. Let's hear it.
Hey, Marco. How you doing? Surprise, surprise. This is Smokey Robinson. I know you didn't expect to hear from me, but I was contacted by your sons, Jeff and Jared, and they wanted me. They told me that you used to live in Detroit across the street from me, and gosh, that's beautiful. How you doing again? Nice talking to you again, I guess. But anyway, you're living in Vancouver now, and they wanted me to wish you happy Chinooka. I have no idea what Chinooka is, but happy Chinooka because they said so. Anyway, God bless you, babe, and enjoy Chinooka. Have a wonderful time.
That's priceless. Really is.
That costs $350, which I think is well spent.
That's the best one ever done, though. You can't beat that.
He must have sent it out in the last couple of days. To not connect C-H-A-N-U, however you want to spell Hanukkah, and you just think it's Chinook, I'm flabbergasted.
Well, I mean, you would think that as being as big a star as he is, he has run in those circles. It's not like he's somebody that has stayed in the same community with and didn't know any Jewish people. I guess it's possible, right, to just, it's not on your radar. It's not something you worry about, but he's one of the most famous people on the planet.
He had a good run.
It's amazing.
He traveled all over the world. It's hard to imagine that he don't know what that is.
That he never performed at a Chinooka event?
I'm also amazed, as I said about Peter, and I've warned Don, that a guy who has, you know, so many gold records is doing that for $350.
Well, see, now you, this is
now you're in his pockets.
See, now you're in his pockets.
No, I know I'm wrong. Listen, we air everything here. I'm just amazed.
I'm struggling with it because I wanted to get going with it, and I found myself as I was applying for it, Peter, realizing that I was not in the right area. I was like I was trying to get on the Cameo as just somebody that was looking to buy.
Oh no!
So I really don't know how to do it from my perspective.
By the way, they like have to invite you.
I know, and I can
get you invited through Meredith Marakovitz.
My brother's been invited. My brother's making a killing on it.
And Meredith because the people that invite you also get money.
Is that true?
Yep.
Well, I need to be invited if somebody can invite me, because I like to pick up money that's on the ground. That's what I did with the Jet. I mean, that's what I did with the Jet. You guys didn't. I mean, I saw 3 points just lying. It was just lying there on the floor, and I picked it up. But
that's
my
exactly
pocket.
Right. Now
I work for it. You ruined every Sunday of your life for 18 years.
But every once in a while, there's 3 points laying on the ground, and you didn't have to overanalyze it. You know, it just was I'm really surprised. Matter of fact, Michael, it was on the 3 points were not only on the ground within reaching distance, it came with its own little handle. I was able to just, it was so easy to just pick up and put in my pocket. So that's where it kind of seems like Cameo. Well, we're making fun of him mispronouncing Hanukkah. That's $350 for 30 seconds work. My brother tells me that the longest message is like 60 seconds.
Well, it's a long, you could go longer.
But it's not like anybody asks for longer. You know, and my brother charges
$25. But here's the question. Won't you feel cheap?
What?
Because let's say somebody wants you to wish a kid that's a big fan of the show, right, a happy birthday. Wouldn't you do that for free if somebody got a hold of you and asked you to do it?
And I do it for free. There are people that have the wherewithal to find a way to get in touch with me. You got to do the work yourself. I'm going to help you cheat. But there are ways. I just I did a top five for somebody the other day. He gave me the list of five. It was for his father, and he wanted me to record it for him. I did it absolutely free of charge because he showed the initiative in finding out a
way
to
get it. But some people,
it
would be easier for them to just pay the $50.
But you're right. For some people, like, I really don't want to go through the initiative. I just would rather pay the $25 and get it done professionally.
I believe that you should command the same amount of money as Smokey, $350.
No, I'm not. My brother,
if it's $25, Don, you're going to be doing these things all night long.
Yeah, that is true.
Look, but I don't have to do them if I don't want to.
No. Once they ask you, and you're contractually obligated, you must do every one.
I don't think that's the case at all, is it, Peter? That's misinformation.
No, you don't have to, but you'll feel bad.
By the way, it's a LaGreca show. Brand new one dropped today. Go to my social media at Don LaGreca or at David LaGreca1. We debate the top five frontmen of hard rock and heavy metal.
I retweeted that, by the way, because I want you to know I'm behind you.
And while you're at it, wherever you get podcasts, Juan Epp is dead, is back. Cypher Sounds and myself. Now listen.
It's a little uncomfortable considering the person that played Juan Epstein did pass recently.
Wow, you know, I didn't even think about that.
Well, why would you think about it? You never watched one episode of Welcome Back, Kotter. You don't think that's the height of fraudulency, Michael?
It's close to the height, if not the height.
I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. You're right. I always found that funny that I never watched the show. And, oh my God, I feel bad. We never thought about the fact that Juan Epp is dead.
Robert Hedges, right?
Yeah, I think he'd still be honored by the name of the show, though.
Well, I don't think he'd have a problem with it at all. But
and it's
not
actually referring...
applying what you think somebody would feel. How audacious!
And by the way, I don't have nothing about him.
Speaking of which, I'm getting destroyed on Twitter.
For what?
Because I brought up the Blackhawks earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And everybody's telling me about the history. And that it's not offensive.
Well, that's fine, but the point is, it's still a conversation.
And I just tweeted out. I said I know the history very well, but it's not for me to say it's not offensive. And you can't deny it's a topic. And I'm getting destroyed. Is that I should be allowed to say what's offensive? Well, no, I'm sorry, I'm not in that position. I'm not being Joe Lib. I'm not being weak. It's just that. Who am I to tell somebody that they're offended?
I don't even want to have this discussion when you guys were talking about it earlier, because the bottom line is. It's not for us to decide. Somebody is offended by it, you can't decide whether they should be offended or not. I have no idea.
But people like telling other people what to be offended by.
Well, you know what? I don't listen.
Now, Michael, it's 6:29. I have a bunch.
Let's towel off and continue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very special ENN.
Let's do it.
All right? So more ENN for you on this Monday right here on Yes and on 98.7. ESPN.
Yeah!
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Michael Kasha on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, it's also the kind of service you get.
Yep.
Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. When last we spoke, Peter Rosenberg was in the middle of an outstanding ENN.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd first of all, again, like to say happy Chanukah to all of our listeners out
there.
Happy Chanukah.
Thank you. Let's bring in Andrew, because Jalen Hurts gets himself a win for the Philadelphia Eagles over the New Orleans Saints. And I don't remember who said they liked the Saints. But I know that we said on this show I didn't like the Saints to potentially cover the points with Taysom Hill, but I certainly didn't think the Eagles would win. Andrew, what can you tell us about the Jalen Hurts performance?
I thought he played really well. The thing that stood out to me, I knew he was a good running quarterback, but I don't think I even fully understood just how much of a threat he actually is with his legs. It changed their entire offense, his ability to pick up first downs, you know, third and eight, he can run for those yards. Wentz just wasn't doing that. So it was a totally different look from anything you've seen so far this season. Now you wonder if that'll get found out at some point when there's tape on him, but I thought he played really well. I was pleasantly surprised, truly.
I think I was the one who liked New Orleans.
Yeah, I worried about them point-wise, and of course they ended up losing the year. Now, does it make you think that you guys are back in the race or no?
Well, I mean, they are, right? Because if Washington loses to Seattle, the Eagles pretty much have to win out, which is possibly doable. They have Arizona, Dallas, and Washington left. So if you go 1-2...
You got to 4-8-1 with that?
The Eagles are 4-8-1. If Washington goes 1-2 and Philly goes 3-0, and we'll see what happens with the Giants, but you know, because the Eagles and Washington play each other in the final week of the season,
right.
So they are back in it. I know you say that you like your chances against Seattle, but ultimately I think most people would think the Seahawks should win that game. So if Philly can upset Arizona, then it's on.
I only believe the Seahawks should beat Washington if Alex Smith is out. That's how I feel.
Wow.
And I
know they should beat them if Alex Smith is playing.
They should. Washington should win.
Wow. See, this is Peter. Is the stuff you were getting.
Wow. You're hanging on the
about.
Rim and you didn't even dunk the ball.
Hey, I'm sorry. The Seahawks are not world beaters, guys. They lost to the Giants at home 2 weeks
ago.
But
look what they did to the Jets.
We could do that with our company team.
They're coming here, and that humanizes Seattle sometimes when they've got to go on the road. Philadelphia hung with them just a couple of weeks ago, and it looked like the Eagles were dead. But when you look at the three teams alive in this division, even though technically Dallas still is, I'm not sure that they're going to be heard from.
People, and by the way, people would argue they're back in it after looking good on the road yesterday.
The difference. Unless you want to say that Dallas win in Minnesota was impressive, I'm not really sure. They're not a playoff team right now. Is that the Eagles, Giants, and Washington all have like that unexpected win, right?
And the Eagles have the easiest schedule.
Now the Eagles have a win over the Saints, so they believe. The Giants had a win over Seattle, they believe. Washington had that big win against Pittsburgh, they believe. You know, because when you really look at that game, and we both had, I felt very good about the Washington pick. I made it my 2-point play, and probably would have made it my 3-point play had not been for the Jets, because I think that was a very good matchup for Washington. That is a game you should have won, right? So I don't know if I'm overly impressed with the San Francisco win. The Pittsburgh win, you know, was really impressive.
Here's the thing for me and why I'm excited about the San Francisco win. Alex Smith missed the entire second half. Their offense hadn't gotten going yet. Washington's offense is a late starter, usually much better in the second half. The offense never got going. The fact that the defense has gotten to this – now, listen, it's Nick Mullins, okay? This isn't
a
world beater. But they did it the week before to Pittsburgh also.
Absolutely. But
if the defense is real, if they have become who this defense appears to be, they will be problematic for basically everybody.
But you can't count on getting 14 points directly off of turnovers every week either.
Well, no, but I also hope that we won't be playing Dwayne Haskins.
Points. Right? Yeah, right, but we'll see. Well, we'll see if Alex Smith is going to be able to come back and be healthy. I don't know if it's as up in the air as Jones, but you know, both of them, you know, we'll see.
But you're right. I can't count the division. It's open. The division's open.
I just think these are still, when it's all said and done, these are three below-average football teams that are trying to take advantage of the division that they're in. And you want to know how you are going to be playing at the end. And even, you know, if Philadelphia doesn't make it, but they put pressure – that's something to feel good about going into the future, because then maybe they have their quarterback. Maybe Hurts takes over next year. You know, now, Jones plays well, but they come up short. And the fact is I think all, especially the Giants and Washington, can be on the come here. But they're still a team that can beat anybody and lose to anybody on any given week.
Doug Peterson has said he has not decided whether Jalen Hurts or Carson Wentz will start Sunday against the Cardinals.
Now, explain that to me.
So that's what I want to bring Andrew in again. He said this on WIP, by the way. What's the point then? What are we doing?
So I believe later in the day he did decide and announce Jalen Hurts is going to start. So I think that story is now a moot point.
Sal Valentino was on our air on Sunday. Nobody covers the Eagles closer than him. He said he doesn't think that Wentz will ever play again for the Eagles.
Well, it becomes awkward. It becomes untenable.
Even next year, he said Jalen Hurts is the quarterback moving forward. And they'll just have to deal with the cap hit, which I believe next year is $54 million if they get rid of him.
Hmm. I mean, you did draft him in the second round, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's not for no reason.
You also drafted Wentz with the second pick.
But I understand that. But knowing that you drafted him with the second overall pick, guy would have won an MVP if he didn't get hurt in 17, and you still drafted a quarterback in the second round. Either you really felt that there was going to be packages you can use him in, or you felt this day might be around the corner. And maybe we're at that point.
The Packers wrapped up the NFC North with a win over the Lions. Of course, in classic Vegas fashion, they did it by 7, 31-24. I think the line was 7.5.
Oh.
But Aaron Rodgers continues to improve as an MVP candidate. Before week 14, it was Mahomes minus 500, Rodgers plus 450. It's now Mahomes minus 275, Rodgers plus 190, according to Caesars Sportsbook. And back to New York football, Daniel Jones was asked after the Giants' terrible performance against Arizona if his injury limited him.
You know, I wasn't able to run like I normally am, but, you know, I felt good during the game. And, you know, I'm not sure it hampered too much. I was able to move around the pocket and do what I needed to do throwing the ball. So got to do better with that stuff.
Right after he answered that, by the way, guys, he put his index and middle finger from each hand in his mouth, pulled his face off, and was Eli Manning. It was truly one of the
Snapchat, Don?
It's craziest thing we've ever seen. Joe Judge says he has no regrets about playing Jones.
No, I have no regrets on playing him. We made a calculated decision based on what we thought he could do as a player. We went out there, and as a team, we have to execute better.
Is that just delusion or just refusing to absolve anybody of wrongdoing?
That's a coach saying doesn't want to admit that he was wrong.
Well, I think that's part of it, but it's also part of it. I don't want my guys thinking that I'm making an excuse for them. I think they played poorly, and he's right. I think both could be right. Where Daniel Jones shouldn't have played, but everybody could have done a better job. I mean, I think the defense played well, but the special teams, again, brutal, right? They had a turnover on special teams, and the offensive line did not do a great job of protecting. So if you start talking about, yeah, we probably made a mistake playing Jones, he wasn't 100%, that could be a built-in excuse for guys that need to still play better.
You know who was happy yesterday with the Giants' performance? Mark Colombo.
Oh, so after being, four straight weeks of wins, then right. now all of a sudden he feels good.
Well, because the offensive line was terrible.
We can't – this is a – you don't want to be fraudulent, and be at 10 every week where all of a sudden Judge is a genius and the Giants
are on
their way.
Well, I still love Judge. He's still going to camp. I'm just saying Mark Colombo was probably happy.
Well, but after being depressed for a month.
Right. Well, he was only gone for 2 weeks, so he was happy for two of the months.
Well, I don't think he was happy the second he brought somebody in to help.
Couple of last notes before we get out of here. Manish Mehta, he was fired by the Daily News. So it went from he was taken off the beat of the Jets to fired by the news. Of course, we covered that story a bit over the past few weeks. And in boxing news, if it interests any of you guys, Anthony Joshua looked fantastic over the weekend at a big heavyweight fight against veteran Kubrat Pulev, and really dominant performance, big knockout, finished him with just a gorgeous, gorgeous knockout. And after the fight, said that he wants Tyson Fury. If he means it, we'll find out how soon that can happen. Fury was quick to go on Instagram and say he doesn't believe Joshua, and we'll see if we finally eventually get this super fight, which would take place at some point at Wembley Stadium when crowds are able to return to stadiums. That'll do it for ENN, an extended Monday edition.
And it would also unify the heavyweight title because the two of them hold all the belts, which would be great. I wish that all the titles were unified, but that's never going to happen. 1-800-919-3776. We'll take it to 7 when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.